living longer and staying healthier. It's Healthy Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. Here's your host, Dr. Mike.
All right. So, you know, vitamin B12 is essential for pretty much a lot of things, just about every cell. You know, it's important for healthy cell growth and repair. Pretty important. When it's low, all sorts of symptoms and problems develop, from anxiety and depression to muscle spasms, memory loss, mental fatigue. It goes on and on. My guest is Sally Pocklock, and I think I just totally blew that last name. Sorry, Sally. She's an emergency room physician for over 25, emergency room nurse with over 25 years experience, and she's here to tell about her own journey with vitamin B12. Sally, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I butchered your last name, didn't I?
Yeah, it's okay. It's Pocklock.
Pocklock, there you go. I'll just go with Sally. Is that okay?
That's fine. You can call me Nurse Sally.
Nurse Sally, I love it. That's what I'm going to do. Your book is Could It Be B12, An Epidemic of Misdiagnosis? What's your inspiration for writing that?
Well, I actually suffered from pernicious anemia, which is one reason or one form of B12 deficiency, back in the mid-80s. And the reason why I became so interested is because I do have autoimmune pernicious anemia. And once you have an illness, you have to become educated about your own disease. But working right now in the emergency department for 26 years, the reason I became so involved is that I'm seeing many patients coming in with severe signs and symptoms of B12 deficiency, but we are not testing patients. So this has been like a 25, 26 journey studying vitamin B12 deficiency and researching it and pernicious anemia. And the passion why I have it is because we are wasting billions of healthcare dollars by not recognizing and treating B12 deficiency early.
Yeah, you know, we talk a lot about not having enough money in healthcare. We're spending too much. We can't get people insured. But there are simple things I think we can do. You know, disease prevention, looking at the basic vitamins and minerals. I think that would make a big impact in people's health. Changing that whole paradigm, from sick care to truly healthcare. Let me ask you, Nurse Sally, how prevalent do you really think, though? Because it's hard to find statistics on all this because I don't think we're really following it. How prevalent do you think B12 deficiency is, and even some of the other vitamins?
Well, in the medical journals, what they're reporting, the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, National Health and Nutrition Exam Surveys in 2002, they reported that 16% of the U.S. population, that equates to 48 million Americans, have a B12 deficiency. And then when they tested people when the serum B12 was between 200 and 300, which we know that's low, and many of those patients are deficient, right, but they call that low, that was another 35% or 86.1 million. There's a huge amount of patients that have B12 deficiency. In the emergency department, I finally, over decades, have gotten some physicians to start testing patients who are symptomatic. And we are finding 13% B12 deficiency in the emergency department. That's huge. And these patients have a primary care doctor, and they have other specialists. So it's a big problem. That's not even using some adjunctive tests that are helpful, methylmalonic acid and homocysteine, which in the emergency department we do all three when we really suspect a B12 deficiency going on, because a serum B12 can be, you know, inadequate for a number of reasons. But when
When someone comes into the emergency room, Nurse Sally, and then they eventually have to be admitted, right, let's say, and when they have these deficiencies, B12, for instance, we know vitamin D deficiencies, doesn't that impact how well they do in the hospital as well?
Well, absolutely.
How bad they do.
Yeah, and what people don't realize this, but as you mentioned, you have to have B12 for the brain and the nervous system. When you have a true B12 deficiency, it starts attacking the myelin. The myelin is a fatty protective covering that surrounds our brain and all of our nerves. It is a well-known medical disorder, been well-researched for over a century. In fact, three Americans won the Nobel Prize in Medicine back in 1934 for its life-saving discovery. People used to die from B12 deficiency. So not only does it attack the brain and the nerves, it attacks the blood. It makes people anemic. And one of the reasons why physicians are kind of lax at diagnosing B12 deficiency is we have to re-educate all healthcare providers, especially physicians. You do not have to be macrocytic or have enlarged red blood cells to have a true B12 deficiency. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of patients are being misdiagnosed. And we have to also realize that B12 deficiency causes cognitive decline, dementia, and it also causes fall-related trauma. I can't tell you how many older adults come in that have fallen, have a hip fracture, and we find them to be severely B12 deficient. And that is just it's a shame. It's a crime.
Right, and you wonder how many emergency rooms and hospitals are even catching that. I mean, you're on top of it, you know, because of what you've gone through with this, but I know that it's not part of normal protocol.
Through legislation, we'd like it to become a never event. A never event meaning if we have new clinical pathways and get everybody on board, my goodness, we could be saving millions of lives and we could be saving billions of healthcare dollars. In our second edition of our book, we actually put a cost-effectiveness chapter in there that kind of spells out how much money we are wasting on this.
Yeah.
And we even talked about...
I remember Nurse Sally working in the Parkland Hospital System in Dallas, Texas, which is a huge emergency room, and I was doing a psychiatric rotation once, and one of the psychiatrists there wanted to check things like B12 and some other nutrient deficiencies when people came in acutely sick, you know, with a mental disorder, and they wouldn't let him do it. They thought it was a waste of time.
That was just a few years ago. And what should really become protocol, the standard of care should be any patient that has a psychiatric illness or a mental illness, when we, you know, they come to the emergency department because we medically clear them to go to a psychiatric institution for a stay, for treatment, et cetera. We should be including B12 screening before we send them to rule it out, and that's not happening. And that's a grave mistake.
And that's something in basic, you know, science and clinical medicine you learn in I'm sure, in nursing school as well and in medical school. Before you diagnose a mood disorder, a dementia, anything, you have to rule out secondary causes of that, you know, physical
causes
of that.
And we're not saying that everybody has it. You have to include it in the differential diagnosis because it can cause cognitive decline. It can cause dementia. It can cause mental illness. You know, back in the early 1900s, they used to call it megablastic madness. People went mad. But we're using other costly pharmaceuticals in place of true, you know, components that our body needs not only for health, but for life. And what the public doesn't realize that there are many malpractice cases of patients that have been injured from B12 deficiency. It can put a person permanently in a wheelchair or using forearm crutches to walk because it destroys the myelin.
Right. So fractures, dementia, memory issues, a lot of things that older Americans deal with that we brush off. You're just getting older. That's why you're forgetting. Listeners need to know. Maybe we should be doing a nice nutrient profile, checking D levels. That's vitamin D, and then also B12. How do you like now? If somebody's low, Nurse Sally, what's your favorite way of boosting up B12 levels?
Well, if they're low, you have a choice of doing injections, and we like to use hydroxycobalamin versus cyanocobalamin. Hydroxycobalamin, they've been using for decades with children with inborn errors of B12 metabolism. It's very successful. It's a two-step conversion. When you give cyanocobalamin, our bodies have to decyanate it, and some patients have genetic defects that makes it difficult. Hydroxycobalamin is no more expensive than cyanocobalamin. You can get a 30cc vial that's under $40, and a patient can learn how to self-inject, just like diabetics do, and you can give B12 subcutaneously. And it costs you less than $40 a year. The other ways we like to use B12 under the tongue, you know, like sublingual B12,
We'll have to end it there. So the book is Could It Be B12, An Epidemic of Misdiagnosis? Go check out her website, b12awareness.org. And you can, I'm sure, buy the book there and check out. There's a lot of good information on b12awareness.org. Nurse Sally, thank you for coming on. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.